Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma. And we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Lord, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, how are you?
I'm overjoyed to be back on the mic.
Yeah, I know, it feels nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does feel really nice.
Out of retirement for a very special one-off bonus episode.
I couldn't remember how to plug my mic in.
What is this?
I was like, what goes where? Yeah, but we're here to spread a message of good news.
It is a message of good news.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the fertility show.
Way.
#spawn.
#spawn.
However, we're doing a bonus episode in collaboration with the fertility show.
Yes, we are.
But I was thinking about this because we often get approached about doing sponsored stuff, don't we?
We do, and we're very careful about who we choose as our partners. And like over the years, we've done a couple, haven't we? We did one with Thriver, we did
a campaign
with Peanut. But we get a lot of people being like, "Oh yes, I've actually invented a vitamin, and if you take it, you'll instantly become pregnant."
Yeah, so we're not we don't do this kind of thing very often.
No.
We only do it when we really believe in the product.
Yeah,
we're not very good at making money, I'd say. But we are very good at staying true to our values.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a very long-winded way of saying that we're doing this special because we actually really do think the fertility show is
cool.
Excellent.
Gabs, what's coming up in this episode?
Well, we are chatting to Sophie Tilleria and Laura Biggs, who is the MD of the fertility show. Sophie Tilleria, as some of you may have noticed if you follow the fertility show on Instagram, has become, I'd say, what did I call her the other day?
Social media queen.
She's become their social media queen.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing loads of great work for them, spreading the word. And so, yeah, we caught up with both Sophie and Laura to talk about their own journeys because
yeah.
They both have them, and also obviously to talk a little bit about the show.
What I really enjoyed was that we interviewed Sophie ages and ages ago when she released her podcast, which is called The Long Road to Baby, which is still available and is really great if you haven't listened to it.
Oh, it's so good. Definitely
yeah.
Listen to it.
And we got a bit of her story and then... Well, we got all of her story at the time. And then now we've got a bit more of her story.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. We've got a conclusion.
Yeah. Closure many years later.
I felt a strong sense of closure.
Yeah. And Laura, who I, if I'm completely honest, wasn't really aware of her story, mm-hmm. has quite an amazing infertility story.
Yeah. It's one you don't hear much.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was brilliant to interview them and talk about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also kind of replaced Professor T at the end of the show. Got a new expert.
Yeah, only for this time, we should add.
Only for this time, yes. So I spoke to Dr. Wael Saab, who is fertility consultant and deputy clinical director at CRGH, which is, as we know, a rather well-respected fertility clinic in that London. And Dr. Saab will be at the show. So just to... If we were giving you a little taster of his insight and expertise, and if you want more, you can meet him at the show.
Yeah. And was that a nice chat?
It was a nice chat. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. Answered our questions very well, I would say.
Marvelous.
And I definitely heard some insights that I've not heard before. So,
well, that's great.
Isn't it though?
It is great. Now, do you know what? I've never been to the fertility show before, as you will hear me admit during the interview.
Yeah. Do you know what? I can't remember why, because I'm pretty sure we were supposed to go together.
Yeah, we were. And then there was something, and I have a feeling it's to do with my in-laws.
It's always the in-laws, isn't it?
It often is, yes.
Yeah, because I remember at the last minute I found out I was going on my own, and I was like, oh God, I'm going on my own. And actually I had a lovely time, met lots of friendly faces, some I knew before, some I didn't, and just found the whole experience quite quite welcoming and warm.
Yeah, I remember you coming back and being like, oh, I spoke to so-and-so and blah, blah. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, well, I went, I bumped into Hannah Vaughan Jones and Izzy Judd. And we watched, well, I saw those two on stage with Lisa Faulkner and Dr. Zoe Williams, who all four of them were amazing.
Celebs, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, can I have a photo with you, with Hannah and Izzy, which they gladly let me do. And then I met the girls from IVF Babble, Natalie from Fertility Poddy, and of course, Alice Rose, who's a great friend of ours now.
That's cool.
And it was just, yeah, and even if I hadn't kind of, I only sort of knew some of those people. And it was just quite nice walking in. It felt really like a really friendly atmosphere. And even like there was obviously loads of really useful information there, but also it just felt like we were part of a community, which I really enjoyed.
That is really nice. When a lot of infertiles get together, it's always like quite a lovely feeling.
Good shit happens. It's you know, you would think that it might just be a big, like, crying moaning session, which is when we get together.
It is.
But actually no, it was quite joyous. Lots of fun, lots of friends, lots of coffee and chats. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where are we going? When are we going? When is it?
So
this year, you think I'd have written this in my diary?
It hasn't been on for a few years live, no. Has it? So this year is the 12th annual fertility show, and it's going to be at London Olympia, which it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Great venue.
Yeah.
On the 7th and 8th of May.
Yeah. And we're going to be there on the 8th.
We are, guys. We are going to be there on the 8th.
Yeah.
And what are we going to be doing?
We're just going to be chatting. We're going to be talking fertility, all talking fertility.
We're on the talking fertility stage.
Yes.
With Sophie.
With Sophie, and we're just going to have a chat, really. Like, we're not very formal about these things, are we? And also,
we don't,
as a brand, prepare speeches.
No, we don't. We don't. It's all off the cuff. All of the swears and all of the snafus are off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I think we are on with Sean Greenaway, who has the Instagram account Knackered Knackers, who's great and very funny and really brilliant for male factor infertility stories. So,
yeah. And we're going to be there around lunchtime, but we will probably be hanging around all day, to be honest. So
I think so. Someone said we could sell books. So obviously we'll be there laden with books. So if anyone's already got one and wants us to sign it, hey, we'll have some pens on us.
Yeah. Oh, we must remember pens.
Remember last time we signed books and none of the pens worked at my house. Was that not the most annoying thing that's ever happened?
We will bring pens. And if anybody does want their book signed, then give us a shout. The show is open between 10 and 5:30, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a big old day.
And if you want to buy tickets, we actually do have a discount code.
We do. Drum roll. You can get 20% off, which is quite a good chunk off, I would say. If you use the promo code BFN20.
Yep. So if you go to the Fertility Show website, do all the buying, and then just use BFN20 when it asks you for a code.
Mm-hmm. And you can do that up until midnight on the 7th.
Yes, so, you can. So this is T's and C's, valid on advanced general admission tickets only.
Yes, not on the door, guys, not on the door. Yeah. So yeah, come on down, come and see us. And obviously you won't just be seeing us. There's loads of names, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads of people. Sophie will be there. There's like just about every clinician and doctor you can think of. All sorts.
Yeah, and Sophie's got the Talking Fertility stage on which we are appearing, has also Becky Kearns from Divining Mum, Amber Izzo,
Not a Fictional Mum.
Noni Martins from On Fertility, and Sean, as mentioned. So yeah, there's loads of faces that you might know from Instagram, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's loads of seminars as well, right?
Yeah, there's absolutely loads. So,
do you want to give people a flavour of the seminars?
Yes, I do. Thank you for asking. So on Saturday, there's a seminar on how to choose a clinic, which is like the thing that used to blow my mind when I was looking for clinics. There's also a seminar on the causes of recurrent miscarriage,
which
is a big subject.
It is big.
With someone else from CRGH there. Mm-hmm. Sunday, IVF success rates explained. I would say,
yes, please,
like, do not miss that. I will be attending that.
Yeah.
And the new IVF funding option
presented by Gaia,
which is the show sponsor. And there's also stuff on fertility testing and diagnosis, endometriosis, adenomyosis, all the osises, OCs, same-sex couples and parenthood. Varicoceles, azoospermia, don't forget the guys, all sorts.
Yeah, and female fertility options for 43 plus, which is something that actually we recently got asked on Instagram whether we would do a special on it. And so, yeah, we might, that is definitely one for the future BFN, but you could also go to the fertility show and watch this session.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll do our research there.
Yes, maybe we will. God, so handy. So that's enough of us rambling on about it. You should check it out on the website. There's so much going on and it's definitely worth you attending.
Yeah, and if you want to follow them on Instagram.
Them?
Mm-hmm.
It is at The Fertility Show.
And if you want to follow them on Twitter.
It's at Fertility Show.
And I don't have an email for them, sorry.
I'm sure there is one. And also just to say, I think if you can't make it to the show in person in the Olympia in London, obviously not everyone can get to London, I think you can buy a digital ticket which will get you access to the recordings.
Sweet. Well, guys, we'll see you all there on Sunday the 8th.
Indeed we will.
Sophie and Laura. Hello.
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 How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Very good, actually. We really are grateful to be here, aren't we, Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Thanks for having us.
We're grateful to have the dynamic duo. So, you know.
We start every podcast asking people about their journey. Sophie, we kind of know most of yours, although not all.
Yeah.
And Laura, you have your own fertility journey as well. Can you both tell us your journeys?
Okay, gosh, my journey started a long, long time ago because I'm really old.
Laura.
No, that's a good part of my journey. It's a good story.
Okay.
I had my first child when I was 35 after 4 years of trying. And way back then, because I'm 51 now, way back then I was having kind of investigations why we couldn't fall pregnant. And a really lovely guy called Dr. Priddy, he discovered that I had endometriosis, which was something that really wasn't spoken about then. I had no idea what it was. And really, there was nothing. I mean, there wasn't anything on the internet to tell you what it was. It was like this word that no one had heard of before, including me. Anyway, he performed a laparoscopy, and within a couple of months, I fell pregnant, which was fantastic. So I was, as I said, 35, and then when I was around 38, 39, I decided that I would like to start trying for baby number two, and didn't fall pregnant. And so I went back and had another laparoscopy, hoping that the same magic would work, and it didn't. And then I went back and had another one, and hoping it would work, and it didn't. Then I had lots of acupuncture and various other things. And then I'm now, fast forward, I'm 42, and I still haven't fallen pregnant. Mm. And I'm trying and trying and trying. And I had a couple of rounds of IVF and had, you know, first top grade embryos and blastocysts, and it just didn't work. And I was utterly devastated, floored, because I was convinced it would work, because everything on paper looked incredible. And yeah, it didn't work. So kind of walked away from it and felt that I couldn't really do it again. And I don't know, I was maybe naive and certainly didn't have access to what we've all got access to now, as in the community and everything that we can, you know, talk to other people. I had no idea that you really needed probably three rounds of IVF, really, before you had success. I had no idea. I just thought it would work. Mm. So went down lots of other avenues, thought about lots of things and alternative routes. Then decided to have one more go at a clinic in London. But I'm now 43. And when I was told the odds of the fertility treatment working for me, which was about 5% at that age with my own eggs, I just decided I couldn't do it. And decided to, you know, be very happy with my one child. But it never really went away. And at this time, actually, it came about when I started to be involved in the fertility show. So I kept going along to the fertility show and going along to the older mother seminars and older women's seminars, and how you could use an egg donor and how that would improve your chances of success. And I really hadn't considered, I had obviously knew about egg donation, but hadn't really considered it. Anyway, I went to two or three seminars, spoke to a few clinics, and decided to give it one last shot. And then I would feel that I'd given it everything, and I've tried every single, you know, route, and I could therefore, I think I could live with it and know that I'd tried everything. And if it didn't work, then I could walk away and be at peace. Anyway, so I convinced my husband. He needed a bit of convincing, because he'd kind of long ago shut that fertility box. And we opened it up again, and I dragged him off to Spain, and we didn't tell anyone, actually. And we went for fertility treatment with an egg donor, and I'm now 47. Anyway, it worked. And we were just like stunned. So yes, at the ripe old age of 47, I had my second child with a 13-year age gap.
Wow.
So wow.
That's amazing, Laura.
I love it. I could listen to that story every single day and still smile at the end and just love it. Brilliant story.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yes. Yeah, so it was the seminars at the fertility show that introduced me to egg donation. Oh, really, wow. I knew about it, but it's a big deal. And it's something to get your head around, but it's the best decision. Well, one of the best decisions we've ever made.
I was going to say, what's your takeaway from egg donation now? How do you kind of talk about it when you tell people?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting, because obviously I've learned a lot more about it since having Isabella, because we've run a lot of online talks, Sophie and I, over the last couple of years. And when I went into it, I suppose because I wasn't convinced that it would work, I didn't really, I have to be honest, really, really, really think about it. All I wanted was a baby. And that was my main focus. And I felt at the time that I really wanted it to be an anonymous donor. And I think that was very much how I felt. And now Isabella is here, I look back and think, did I make that right decision for her? Because I was thinking about it, I think, from a personal perspective before she came along. And now she's here, I think of it a lot more from her perspective and how she's going to feel in the future. I wouldn't change my decision necessarily, but it certainly is a different feeling. But the feeling I most get is I'm utterly blessed and the lovely, lovely, incredible young woman who donated her eggs. You know, if anyone is listening to this and has ever considered it, it's a gift. It's truly a gift. And I couldn't be more thankful for that. I just feel blessed and happy and intrigued by Isabella, actually, because there's obviously a big part of her that I don't know.
That must be really interesting, finding out about that person.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I love that. I love that part of her personality that I don't know where it comes from or that's and we know she's very musical and that definitely doesn't come from me. She's very sporty. That definitely doesn't come from me. And she's a funny little thing. Lovely sense of humour. So yeah, no, I'm blessed. And intrigue is my, but yeah. And I just hope, and I, you know, I've started to tell her she's very special and I'll explain one day why she's very, but it's part of those conversations, but I don't think about it that much, and I think that's a good way to be honest.
Absolutely. It's really interesting that you were kind of inspired by the fertility show itself to go down that path.
I know, I'm the best model for the
Before we get into that though, for Sophie, for those that maybe aren't as familiar with your story, can you give us a rundown of yours?
Potted history and stuff that I've learned since it, actually, since I came, because I was on your podcast back in early 2000 and it might have been 19? late 2018.
Yeah. Late 2018,
late.
God.
Yeah, loads of time ago. So back then I was working for the BBC. I don't anymore, but I was working for them, and I had at that point been on this fertility journey for 6 years, I think. We started trying after we got married. So we got married in 2012. So we started trying at the start of 2013 and nothing was happening. And it was I've always kind of been quite in tune with my body and stuff. And I knew quite quickly, despite only trying for a couple of months, that something was wrong. And I paid privately for a scan. And like Laura, I had endometriosis. It ironically, as Laura says, you know, we've done a lot of talks with a lot of experts up to this point. But what I've learned is endometriosis can be tiny amounts in a person, tiny amounts in a woman, and they can be extremely affected by it. Or like me, it was grade 4 endometriosis, which is extremely bad, but yet you don't really feel the effects. So I never really had, I was in pain during my periods, but it wasn't debilitating. You know, there wasn't any sign, if you like, aside from an intuition that something was wrong. But then there it was.
I had no idea that was the situation, that you could have.
Oh, gosh.
Like, did not feel it.
You could. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And mine was on my diaphragm. They found some on my kidneys.
Wow.
It was all over my my female organs, you know, my womb, all of that, and the ovaries, etc. And at that time, the protocol was to stop your periods with an injection. I don't know the name of it, but I do know the effect. And it was to stop your periods and to ultimately get rid of it via laser treatment. So I had 3 laparoscopies, which were pretty intensive. And I was also put on a drug that, if you were rolling forward to now, you wouldn't be given that drug unless you had had an egg collection. So really? Unfortunately, yeah. So that drug kind of put me into a premature menopause. Wow. And it also, then the laparoscopies in themselves lasered up quite a lot of the eggs. So by the time all of that had finished, I was basically a 30-year-old with quite low ovarian reserve. So that's when the treatment started. And I was just getting failure after failure, like IVF round after IVF round was just as bad as the last. And I went to a couple of different clinics. And by 2016, I was in such a hole with it all. And we can all understand this point, which is that whole secrecy that sort of shrouded it at that time. I mean,
now you can Google fertility, or you can put fertility into the podcast, your podcast host, and you'll get hundreds of them. But at the point of me doing this, there was nothing out there. And ironically, I think I decided to make a podcast, and it was your podcast was literally the same year. And I remember thinking,
we started around the same time.
And I Hannah Vaughan Jones, she was another person that came out in the Telegraph around the same time as my story came out. And it was all kind of starting to ripple. Izzy Judd started a podcast, and people were talking about it a lot more. But by that point, when I decided to approach Radio 4 and say, I think we need to do something around fertility, and I would like to sort of follow my journey as into my next IVF round, and also to explore other options, they were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Nobody else is doing it. So that's exactly what I did. And the Long Road to Baby was born. And that's when you girls and I met.
Yeah.
And it was also around the same time that I met Jessica Hepburn, of course. She's not really doing stuff in this field anymore, but at the point where we all were, she was a huge name, doing lots and lots of campaigning. And anyway, she is a good friend of Laura, and she did a lot with a fertility show. And ironically, when I went to meet her for the first time at the fertility show, that was when Jessica said, you know, you really need to meet the manager of the MD of the fertility show. She's just taken it on. You need to meet her. And anyway, look at that. That's where the relationship was born, which is kind of skipping on a bit, because not long after that, I did end up bringing home my little boy. But a really strange thing happened to me. And I have to say at this point, I think that anyone that talks about their story, anyone shares how they had their child and pictures, et cetera, I think brilliant, good for them. And I completely understand it. But something happened to me when I had Harris, and I just didn't want to share anymore. And from the moment that he came home and he was in my arms, I shut down on it. And I don't know if it was an anxiety. I don't know if it was I don't know. But his story for me at the moment is just our story. And of course, Radio 4 said, are you going to tell us any more? Are you going to give us an ending? Of course, people ask me on Instagram all the time, not so much now, but they used to all the time DM me or whatever and say, what's happened? And I don't know what it is, but 3 years on, and I'm still feeling the same, which is, I would love to help as many people as I can with the story that I had. But at the moment for me, his story is a personal one, and we will get there. And that's how we're at. But I'm just very grateful and happy and lucky and delighted to say that it was okay for me in the end. But I also remember the pain as if it was yesterday.
It's really nice that you've come on to talk about that.
I know. And do you know what? I never have, Laura. I've not spoken publicly or anything like that.
We've spoken about it, and it's interesting, and I completely understand it. And I share my story because I think as an older woman, it's my duty to share with women that, you know, that the likelihood of falling pregnant over 43 is rarer than hen's teeth. And there are a lot of women that do miraculously magic children, and
especially celebrities.
I'm not a celebrity, but I'm about the right age for those babies that arrive, and no one really knows how. So that's why I share my story, because I think that it's my duty to help those older ladies.
I respect anyone that does whatever they need to do in their life. And it's really funny, because I've always, and this hasn't changed either, that over the years, I've just thought my story isn't relevant. My perspective on this, people wouldn't be interested in or relevant. It's not relevant. But then I remember speaking to a counsellor, Tracy Sainsbury, actually. She's my go-to.
She's great.
And we talk over the years, various times. She got me through a huge amount whenever we were, in the depth of it. And I said to her, you know, I just have this really weird thing that I just want to help people, continue to help people and do what I do. But I just don't feel like I want to share Harris in any other way other than I'm just not there. And she said, just reflective of so many women and well, people. So many people still feel like that, like they're kind of absorbing the stuff on Instagram, absorbing the stuff that happens in the public from other people, but they just don't want to go public with their own stuff. It's just that I happen to be very public prior to him, and now I've kind of gone the opposite way. But that's just, you know, people are people. That's how I feel currently.
I think people understand, though. I don't think people are kind of, you know, especially when you explain it. If you say to people, "Look, I just don't feel comfortable with it," then they're like, "Well, you know, it's fine. Everyone's different."
I think Sophie, you were so open in the lead up, and that's, you know, for me, I didn't tell a soul in the lead up. Mm. Didn't tell a soul. So you have different ways of processing and dealing with it, and you were either way is fine, isn't it? As they say, it's personal preference and personal choice.
Yeah, but I'm just delighted that I get to meet so many amazing, incredible, wonderful people that are helping. And you got all three of you girls are just those people, just everybody in this community just still blow me away daily, actually.
I feel a tremendous sense of closure for having had that, just that little bit of your story, that little end bit.
No, insight into what on earth my crazy brain does on a daily. Yeah.
Not crazy. I think it's completely normal and natural not to want to.
Yeah,
I think it's normal. So can we kind of move on to the show a little bit? Because
please do.
Guys, I mean, like Laura, you, as Sophie said, kind of run the show. Sophie, you're hosting and producing, and Gabby has put here social media queening.
Well, Laura and I, we met, as I said, through Jessica Hepburn, and then at the end of last year, Laura, 2020 maybe.
You forget a year. We all do, because we got locked in.
Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah,
we met in November 2019, and then the world changed in March.
That was it. That is right. Absolutely.
And then we started to work together in June when we started the Let's All Talks.
Yes.
June 2020.
And those Let's All Talks were born out of the three of us at the time, Jessica as well, talking about the fact that there were, I mean, because, you know, during that period, there were thousands of people that weren't allowed their fertility treatment. It was completely stopped. And it was heartbreaking for us. I mean, we were supposed to have a show that year, but goodness, that didn't matter compared to these people that were desperate for information, for help, for advice, for children, for a baby. It was awful. And I remember we all sat down and Laura and Jessica and I just said, what can we do? And that was where the webinars were born, the Let's All Talk fertility webinars. And we basically had this wealth of experience at our fingertips, because the fertility show have so many wonderful top class experts. And Laura approached them all and said, do you want to do a webinar? We'll host them for free. They were on Zoom at the time, and now we've moved platform. But and we would just get so many people joining us week on week to just ask literally talk to the experts, hear what they had to say on the subject matter, be that endometriosis, PCOS, low ovarian reserve, IVF, whatever it was. And then people would be able to ask their questions, and people did. And it was extremely popular. And that was where my relationship was born with Laura, because I was hosting it. But it was also where then the first fertility summit was born from Laura. That was incredible, wasn't it? And that was last September now.
Yeah, so basically COVID stopped us running the show. And I was scratching my head thinking, gosh, what can we do? Because as you know, we were locked in and no one could really see an end. And little did I know that it would be 2.5 years till we would run our next fertility show. So thank goodness.
That must be so frustrating for you.
Yeah, well, it was frustrating, but worrying. You know, it's our business. And how do you, when, you know, you've got to keep that brand alive, and you've got to keep talking about the fertility show and keeping the relationship with the exhibitors and I mean, the audience does change, obviously, with the fertility show, because you do tend to get new people as they are coming onto that fertility journey. So, yeah, it was frustrating. It was worrying. So, yeah, thank goodness for Sophie and Jessica.
Thank goodness for me.
Without them, the fertility show, you know, we needed to keep the brand and the community spirit there. So we ran the Let's All Talks, and then that turned into the Fertility Summit that we ran in September. And that was 70 hours of live talks over 4 days.
Mad. So much.
It was. I mean, it was incredible. And Sophie was hosting, Jessica was hosting, the guys at FNUK were hosting, Natalie Silverman was a host, and we all ran it, and we realized about 2 days before that we couldn't all be in the same place because we needed so much bandwidth to run this event. So we were all running in different places around the country, but it was great. We had 3,500 people watch, well, 3,500 downloads of our content.
Amazing.
Which is great for, you know, the fertility show. And now we're just a couple of weeks away from
the real deal.
Hey guys, I've never been to the fertility show before. Can you tell me like what people can expect from it?
So the fertility show, when I first went along to it, which was in 2015, is incredibly overwhelming. Okay, so that's the first thing to put out there, because when you walk in, generally it's your first time there, and it's been quite a brave and big move to buy your ticket to come along, because it's a big deal to buy a ticket to the fertility show, because it's kind of accepting that they're, you know, you're struggling, and that you, but the positive thing is that you're there to make some positive decisions and to hear and find out more. So when you walk into the show, it's a room full of exhibitors, and the exhibitors are a mix of IVF clinics, egg banks, sperm banks, holistic therapies. Female tech is coming through a lot, actually. So we're getting a lot more female tech into the show, which is so fascinating and interesting. And then, you know, there's support groups. Fertility Network have a big area there, so you can go and talk to people and find out more how they can support you. So that's the show floor, as we would say. And then we have three big seminar rooms that are running back-to-back content with leading experts.
What I think is incredible about this year that is different from every other year, now that Laura is a huge part of the show, she's always been a big part of the show, but she's the MD of the show this year, and it's had a huge change of hand. And I think what's fantastic is the holistic side of it this year. So I think before then, the seminars were very consultant or expert led. So they would do their PowerPoint presentations and essentially guide the seminar the way they want it to be. That's gone. There's no PowerPoint. This time you've got hosts talking to experts. This is what we've learned from our Let's All Talk experiences and our webinars and our summit experiences, is that it's that conversation that you want to hear. It's those questions, those five questions from, say, me as a host or whoever else is hosting. And then the going to that audience question, it just gives you, I don't know, it makes it feel so much more personal. I don't know about you girls, but
yeah,
it just feels so much more personal. And then, yeah, the Let's All Talk stage is my baby, if that's not the worst analogy to give in the world. But, you know, I've met so many great people on Instagram, and now doing the job that I'm doing on Instagram, which is ultimately following you amazing people and looking at everything you're doing. And now we've got some of the best people coming to join us in that Let's All Talk hub, I call it. And it's from, you know, open from 9 to 5, but you've got people in and out the whole day. And I'm not sure what days who's coming, but we've got you girls, brilliant. You can come and talk about your podcast, your book, your experience, your lived experience. People can come and hopefully bring their books if they want to, or buy them from you, and they can sign them, have them signed by you guys, and you can tell them your story. We've got Knackered Knackers, who's Sean Greenaway. He's incredible as well. He had azoospermia. He went onto Instagram. He shared his story. Now he's got a male support group. I think that's who you're sharing the stage with. We've got Defining Mum. Defining Mum is Becky Cairns. She's a donor. She had her three children via donor conception. We've got Nonnie Martins and Amber Itso. Amber's just found that she's pregnant after 7 rounds of IVF or something crazy. Nonnie is still in that journey, and goodness me, how hard is it? We all know how hard it is to share our experience while we're living it. So you've got these incredible people that are there to just talk to you and to be there and to just understand what you're going through. And I just, I don't know, I feel so grateful to be a part of it, really.
But most of all, us.
But mainly you girls.
Yeah. I was glad that was the first highlight that you came to us with.
Girls. Obviously. You're the headliners.
I mean, have you guys heard any kind of lovely stories of things that have happened at the fertility show that you can kind of...
Apart from your own meeting, of course.
Yes,
Laura. Your own meeting.
What have you heard?
Oh, I met this lovely mother and daughter, actually, at the show. And I often wonder what happened to them. Because this mum and daughter come up, lovely young girl, she must have only been early 20s, or maybe mid-20s, and her mother were at the show, and they'd come from Ireland. And they asked me if we had any surrogacy talks. And at the time, I think there was only one on, and it was the day that they weren't visiting. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I got chatting to them, and what transpired is that the daughter sadly had had cancer and had had to freeze her eggs before surgery, and therefore was no longer able to carry a baby. So she was looking for a surrogate and a route to parenthood through that route. And her mum was considering being her surrogate.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was amazing. And I chatted them for quite a long time because the mum was kind of talking about how she would feel being pregnant and that she was young. I mean, she was about 58, this lady.
Hmm.
And I'd had Isabella by this point, and I'd said to her, well, look, I had a baby at 47, and essentially as long as you're fit and well, there's no reason why you can't carry a baby. And we were just a long conversation about how she would feel. And I said, it would be the most magical gift you could ever give your daughter to carry her child. So I often wonder what happened, but that was just a lovely,
yeah.
I never, ever thought of it like that.
It's amazing. I wonder if after this we'll hear what happened.
Yeah, if she's there listening.
Maybe. They were lovely. I always often think about them. It was such a, I mean, obviously quite sad, but lovely that they were there together.
Yeah.
No, very lovely.
This is slightly more serious, but would you normally have like Ukrainian people at the show in terms of like exhibitors and things like that?
Yeah, you know, gosh, it's really sad. We had a company called Feskov who had booked in, and they were from Ukraine.
Mm.
And it was one of the cities that has been really, really badly bombed. And clearly they're not coming, which is terribly, terribly sad. They're all okay. And so, yeah, they're not coming. And then literally a week before the atrocity started, we had an egg bank from Ukraine who were due to come. And they're not obviously coming. So, yeah, there would have been a couple of Ukrainian, because it's a very popular place, as we know, for surrogacy.
Yeah.
It's terribly sad. So they won't, and I can't see them coming back to the show for some time.
Horrible.
Gosh. And then there's so many people, obviously, who've used surrogates in Ukraine who are obviously just feeling really, like, as in the past.
Mm.
You know, we all know people. They must feel so strange about it all.
Yeah, it's one of the stories that's really affected me. I mean, there's so many, but that one.
Yeah,
I had a few people come to me on Instagram, actually, DM me and just say, you know, this is prior to them saying that surrogates can be considered as family and they can come into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the desperation prior to that was, my surrogate is out there carrying my baby and the British government is saying that they're not considered family or friends. And I mean, it was overturned fairly quickly, but goodness me, that moment for them, those few weeks where they were just like, what is going to happen?
Yes. Madness. Well, from one really fun subject to another, the pandemic. Like, you mentioned what you guys did during the pandemic, and obviously you pivoted really quickly to create something that could keep offering people some support. But, you know, how, I guess, it's put upon a more positive spin on it, are people really pleased that you're coming back? to the real space at the Olympia that we can all kind of come along and meet each other.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, the exhibitors have been so brilliant, so supportive. They literally have stood by us, and I can't thank them enough that, you know, they rebooked their stands back in 2019 and they've kept their bookings. So that has been incredible. So and they've kept their bookings because they realise, and we all know, you know, although we've been working online and doing things like this, a face-to-face connection is really, really powerful, especially when you're considering fertility treatment.
I think that from my perspective, I've just written an article for Fertility Help Hub to talk about the importance of face-to-face meetings. And just to add to what Laura said earlier, how fantastic it is that the fertility show for the first time ever is now also online. So if people do buy their ticket, they also get that online content, which is wonderful. But it's never going to be the same as face-to-face contact. I mean, there's so many benefits from that. Like we all know how important it is to have a rapport with your clinician, have a rapport with the clinic that you want to be at. And that rapport will come by meeting people. And of course, you will never get this many people under one roof to be able to suss that out. And as Laura said earlier, you know, you don't make that decision. You don't sign up to that clinic there. Mm. I don't think I used any of the information that I ever gained from the fertility show in 2015 until much, much later on in my life. And actually that's where I met my clinic. That's where I met actually a second clinic that I also went to. And it is about that gut instinct and trusting your instinct. And of course, on top of that, it's the community element as well. I think that so many people during the pandemic were lonely, going through this alone. And we've all become so accustomed to working from home and to problem solving on our own. And actually, that doesn't need to happen anymore. A problem shared, etc. And being in an environment where every single person there gets you, that's invaluable. I mean, I felt so much less alone when I started talking and reaching out and meeting you girls and meeting people in this community. And that is what the show will do. It will bring you together with these people.
I was going to say that it's kind of, I remember one of the things, and this maybe sounds weird, but you kind of go along and you see people that are like you and that look like you and you're like,
and it is heartbreaking.
Kind of, that feeling of it, of not being alone and not being a weirdo, not being, you know, and just being with people who, you know, are just like you. And you're like, okay, this is, you know, there is a community out there and we're not.
And don't get me wrong, it's emotional. You go there. I've not ever gone to the show and not cried. I think Laura's the same. She cries every single year. Of course you do. But it's a lot of that, a large part of that is because of that feeling of not being alone. And you completely empathise with the other people. And you're like, that just makes you a better person, in my opinion, because I'll never forget what I went through ever. It will always, it will always stay with all of us, you know.
Mm. Absolutely.
So I just hope that it helps people.
Yeah, well, I think that's quite a good note to leave it on, to be honest. Guys, thanks so much for coming on. I'm really excited. We're on the Sunday.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Although I do have in my calendar that it's a Google meeting, so...
definitely not a Google meeting in
In person.
We'll be there.
And you need to bring your books with you. And what we should mention is that we have a discount code for... your listeners.
Fabulous.
Right. Just quote BFN at checkout, then they'll get 20% off.
Amazing. Right. Well, there you go, guys. There's no better reason than that to buy a ticket right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been so nice to chat, and I can't wait to see you both in the flesh.
That'll be amazing. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Gabby, now it's time for...
IVF.
What the F?
What the F? What the F?
We haven't done this for bloody ages.
I know, because Tim wasn't there for last season, so we haven't got to make that beautiful chorus sound.
Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Dr. Wael Saab, who is fertility consultant and deputy clinical director at CRGH.
And what are we talking about?
Well... usually we ask Professor Tim one question, as we all know, because we don't like to overload him. No. However, with Dr. Saab, I thought, well, I'm just going to overload him. So we asked three questions.
What?
I know, three. It was amazing. So I asked about IVF success rates,
right,
how to improve them. Mm-hmm. I asked about what surprises people about the IVF process, because I mm-hmm. thought that was quite interesting. And then I also asked him about supplements, because what the fuck?
Going back to basics.
Back
I love
to
it.
Basics, guys.
Yeah, I haven't done that for a while, actually. Okay, sweet. Well, take it away.
I will. Dr. Saab, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks. Thanks for having me as well, Gabby. That's very kind.
Brilliant. So, okay, here's the grilling question number one. What do you think is the top way to optimize IVF success?
Of course, of course. Basically, patients can optimize the treatment on different fronts. Obviously, I'll start from the medical front. There are a few things in addition to the medications that we give, leading a healthy lifestyle to start with. And I'll start by saying I'm going to divide the question into two parts, what ladies can do and what men can do, because it's applicable for both. We shouldn't only concentrate on X, we shouldn't only concentrate on sperm, we should mm-hmm. concentrate on both. When it comes to the medical aspect of what ladies can do, obviously leading, and what both actually can do, is avoiding alcohol, avoiding caffeine. It sounds sometimes a silly advice, but avoiding stress as well will also help. Making sure to have a well-balanced diet, of having the 5 a day of fruits and veggies, the right supplements during the treatment, having the proper sleeping pattern. It sounds, you know, sometimes we forget about that sleeping patterns plays a role in the success rate of IVF. So all of those are important factors. And obviously making sure that in addition for being physically ready, we need to be mentally ready as well, or the patients need to be mentally ready for the treatment. The same advice applies for men. But in addition to that, obviously, for men, we give additional advice. For instance, anything that increases testicular temperature. Sometimes it's common these days to find men having protein shakes or protein bars. Also avoiding those and trying to lead, you know, a healthier lifestyle. Mm-hmm. This will also help in optimizing outcomes.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And is there anything about the IVF process that surprises people that you find?
IVF treatment, unfortunately, is full of surprises, whether mm-hmm. good surprises or bad surprises. Mm-hmm. It's always, this fertility journey is always described as being a roller coaster, I have to say. And the surprises can be on different fronts. It can be sometimes a financial, surprise, where patients will embark on a treatment thinking that it will cost this amount of money. And unfortunately, they discover, no, it might be a little bit more expensive than what they think. Sometimes the surprise might be we all, as human beings, we are set on starting any treatment or setting for an examination, thinking that it will be successful. Well, unfortunately, sometimes there are ups and there are downs. Mm. Obviously, it is an emotional and a medical roller coaster as well. So sometimes you embark on treatment thinking, okay, I'm well prepared, in case it works, I'm fine. If in case it doesn't work, I'm fine. But then we discover, no, that couple or ladies will be requiring support throughout the journey. And these are the main, basically, surprises, the medical, the financial, the emotional. Mm. These are the ones that come to mind most of the time when it comes to surprises.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that patients, when they first come to the world of IVF, it's a very confusing world. Even just trying to conceive is a whole new world that people haven't explored yet. Supplements, it's so confusing. How do people choose which supplements they should be taking? Because you can... There's such a wide range, and it can be difficult to know what to go for.
Actually, every single consultation that we have these days, it will always end up the patients asking us, what do I need to take over the counter when it comes mm-hmm. to food supplements? Mm. Food supplements, obviously, when it comes to the industry, it's a growing industry. It's a multi-billion pound industry, most probably. There are lots of food supplements. You go right now over the counter. There are lots of brands, lots of things. What to choose? What can help and what cannot help? Without any doubt, we are what we eat. So we cannot ignore that part of the treatment. So we cannot ignore that supplements might be contributing positively or negatively to the treatment. But the problem with supplements is that when it comes to any advice that we give our patients, we need to have a proper medical evidence that what we are offering them, at least there are some evidence in the medical literature that it helps. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when it comes to supplements, evidence exists. I'm not denying that evidence does not exist, but sometimes that evidence is a little bit weak. So what we end up advising is that there are some supplements that have been shown, for example, in the medical literature to help specific subcategory of patients. Taking coenzyme Q10 in ladies might help. Some antioxidants for men, including vitamins or minerals like selenium, like zinc, like vitamin C. Those have been shown to possibly help sperm DNA fragmentation and outcome. It is quite confusing for patients, but in general, I advise every single patient to discuss that with their clinician, as based on their medical history, they might end up having a special recommendation what to take, what to avoid. For instance, one supplement that you can never go wrong, specifically because we live in the UK where it's not, most of the days are not that sunny, is vitamin D supplements. Mm. We know that vitamin D deficiency, for instance, affects both men and women when it comes to fertility. And you can never go wrong by supplementing some vitamin D or advising our patients to take vitamin D supplements. And we have seen, by at least eyeballing things and some evidence in the medical literature, that this does improve quality of eggs and sperm and possibly outcome as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So have a chat with your doctor and make sure you get the vitamin D in there for sure.
That's right. That's right. And as I said, bits and bobs of vitamins, minerals, specifically, obviously, it goes without saying that, you know, for ladies, if you want to give a little bit of a more specified advice, is that obviously ladies need to be taking the right dose of folic acid mm-hmm. in addition to the vitamin D. Other supplements that might pop up during the discussion with your consultant are coenzyme Q10. For men, as we mentioned, the vitamin C, the zinc, the selenium. There are some, even some food supplements like, there are some studies about some food supplements mainly present in tomatoes that might help men, called lycopene. Mm. Again, these are things that you might discuss with your doctor and get a little bit of more evidence. We are getting more and more information as we go along because people started getting interest, people start getting interested in that specific topic more recently, the last few years more than before, although nutrition obviously is quite important. But always have a chat with your doctor. Sometimes your doctor might even ask you to go and see a fertility nutritionist or dietitian for a more tailored advice. But always do not hesitate to ask your doctor, because this is also an important part of your treatment.
Brilliant, Dr. Sobel. That's been such a handy three little questions to give us a taster for the show. And we look forward to seeing you there. Okay. Well, guys, that was it. That was our bonus fertility show special.
I've really enjoyed myself, actually.
I have as well. Do you think we should do this again sometime?
Yeah, we should get together, get the mics plugged in.
We will be coming back on the regs, guys, this summer. So we will update you as soon as we know exactly when.
Anon.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. In the meantime, don't forget about our 20% off code for the fertility show.
It is yes. BFN20.
And hopefully see you there. If not, see you soon.
Yeah, indeed, guys. Loads of love.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.